Didn't have my passage ready in time. I was in court on Friday, and I've never been in court on a Friday after Thanksgiving. And I kind of protested before to no avail. And it's a judge that he lives up on Eastern Parkway, and we don't get along. And when I showed up, they had adjourned my case. They never told me. So, but God is good, and you've got to keep the faith nonetheless. God is good. There are times that when he lets us go through some stuff. And as we go through it, you got to keep the faith. And, you know, I remember the same judge. I had a... He did something really bad. And I took him on appeal. And I'll never forget it, but my lovely wife was with me. And to hear the argument. And it was time for my case to be called. It was four judges on the panel. One said, "No, don't you speak. Don't you speak. Not you, not you. Don't you speak." And she whispered to the other judges, they had to go outside. And they came back in. She said, "Now we'll hear from you." But before she said that, she said, "I know you've been through some stuff." So in other words, she was saying a couple of things to me. One thing she was saying is that, "I read your papers, and I know about the injustice." And she was also saying, "We're going to set it right now." So this judge, you know, he's just trying to be a little spiteful. But I said, God is able. You know, you got to keep the faith. You know, it's amazing. No matter what we're going through, you got to keep the faith. It's a wonderful God we serve. So when I got the call to speak today, it was interesting because when I was originally asked to speak today, I said, "I'm busy," and then it comes back to me. So if that's not the Lord speaking, I don't know what is, on the very same day. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 14, reading from reading from verse 16. Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I'm sorry, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove him, to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being very angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. You know, it's really interesting how God invites everyone to receive his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I wonder if you've ever thought about how truly gracious God is to invite everyone at any point in time, at any place on this earth, to come to his table and dine with him. Yes, God invites us to fellowship with him. God invites us to dine with him. And this is a very interesting parable. We all have received God's invitation to dine with him. We all have received God's invitation to fellowship with him. So let's go through the parable. It says in verse 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat the bread of the kingdom. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So God is the person who is sending out the invitation. God wants us to fellowship with him. So the host of this great supper is God the Father. So we have here Jesus speaking, and Jesus tells those listening, the God who created you, the God who designed you, the God who gave you life, is inviting you to a banquet. When you receive an invitation to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are being invited to a feast of love. Now, what is on the table? There is the bread of life, a bread that satisfies the hunger of all men and women. There is living water that satisfies the thirst of every man and woman, boy and girl. And there is the meat of the word of God for all to share. So now we have verse 17, which says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So you got to understand this. The moment is set. The banquet time is now. He tells the servant, tell those who have been invited, come, for everything is now ready. God had prepared everything. God has prepared the meal. God has prepared the banquet table. God has done everything necessary for us to be saved. God has done everything necessary for us to enjoy his fellowship. So he tells his servant, make the announcement. No delay, no excuse, no time for discussion. Accept the invitation. Accept the invitation now. Now, in antiquity, you know, whenever a banquet was announced, the host gave two invitations. The first invitation was far, far in advance of the banquet. There would be a formal invitation, and the reason for the formal invitation in advance was so the host would know how many people to prepare for. He needed to know how much food he needed. He didn't know how many lambs, how many cattle, how much wine, how much bread. He needed to know just how much he had to prepare and how much food he had to make. And people would respond accordingly. Now, right before the feast, the host would now send his servants to all the persons who accepted the first invitation and say, the banquet is ready. The time has come. So verse 17 really refers to the second invitation. The second invitation was really an affirmation. It was a confirmation. So the guests were really supposed to say, yes, I will be there. Yes, I am coming to the banquet. And God invites all of us to his banqueting table to enjoy salvation and everlasting fellowship with him. God has extended that invitation to every single person. God invites us to come and dine with him. God is saying, right now, the time is right now. And God's invitation is to every living human being. So when you hear the gospel, you should say yes. Everyone has received God's invitation. And you should accept it now, because tomorrow is promised to no one. As Jesus was talking to the group, he said, many will reject the offer of fellowship. Jesus said, many will reject the offer of salvation. And that's what he was saying. Now look to the turn of events. The banquet is about to begin. The doors of the banquet house are open. The host is standing at the door. He's waiting for the guests. The table is set. The table is ready. The best silverware on the table. The best dishes on the table. The platters are filled with steak and lamb. The platters are overflowing with fruits and vegetables. The carafes are filled with wine. But no guests arrived. The guests, one by one, made excuses for not attending. And the excuses were lame. You know, is that the right young person term? Lame? You know, when I was a young person, it was jive. But today I think it's called lame, right? Well, the excuses were really bad. They were made up excuses. They weren't intelligent ones. They weren't, even good ones. Look at verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I found that very interesting, because this guest had a problem with his money. He said, I bought a piece of property, but he also said, I haven't even seen it yet. Now, who buys a piece of property sight unseen? Who buys a piece of property without looking at it first? What he was saying to the host was, I love my property, I love my money more than you. A lot of people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ feel that way. I love my money more than you got. Do you know what that man's problem was? He didn't want to come to that banquet because his excuse was his wealth. And you have verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Now, this man's problem was his work, his business. He loved his business so much. See, because he had 5 yoke of oxen. Now, you know, you in a farm back in those days, you could only work one or two yoke of oxen, but here it was that he had purchased five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. So I purchased these, some additional oxen, but I haven't even looked at them yet. This man was more concerned about running a business. And like many people, when they hear the gospel, they say, I'm too busy. It's not my time yet. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm not excited about spending time with God. But this man was even worse because he says, I have bought animals, but I haven't even looked at them yet. Now, who buys a car and doesn't look at the car before he buys it? Who invests in a business without exploring it first? His problem was he didn't want to go to the banquet because he didn't want to fellowship with God. So he made an excuse. Then you have yet another. Verse 20, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I mean, I really found this one interesting. Because if you're married, I mean, think about it. I mean, this last man blamed his inability to come on his wife, and he said, my wife would not let me come. Now, who ever heard of a wife that could hobnob with the rich and famous, go to a nice banqueting hall, and doesn't want to go? Who's married and doesn't have a wife that wants an excuse to go shopping? Oh, well, honey, you know, I started at Burlington, but they didn't have anything. You know, I tried to save some money. So then I went to Macy's. They didn't have anything, but I found something at Bloomingdale's. You know, I know women don't do that. I know. But think about it. What woman doesn't want to go to a nice big banquet, buy a new dress, new shoes, go to the hairdresser to get her hair done, all to make a public showing, to socialize with the rich and famous, to go out and have a night when she doesn't have to cook? No, this man, his wife wasn't the problem. He just didn't want to go and spend time with God. So what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is that there really is no reason. There's no excuse to refuse God's invitation to the banqueting table. There's no reason to reject God's invitation for salvation. There's some people who don't know Jesus is going to stand before the judgment throne of Christ, and Jesus is going to ask you, do you remember that sermon at Good Tidings about the Great Supper? Yes, Jesus. Do you remember that you were invited to take your place at the table? There was an invitation to come to know Jesus and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes, Jesus. Do you remember how I appealed to you to give your heart to me? Yes, Jesus. And do you remember how you sat there and did nothing? Yes, Jesus. Why didn't you come? I wasn't ready. No excuse. Why didn't you come? I didn't want to walk down that aisle in front of all those people. No excuse. Why didn't you come? I wasn't ready to change my life. I didn't want to change my lifestyle. No excuse. I didn't want to give all that I had for salvation at that point in time. No excuse. Now, Jesus wasn't saying there's anything wrong with wealth, because the Bible teaches us that it is the Lord and Savior that gives us the power and the blessings to acquire wealth. There's nothing wrong with work. The Bible says 6 days you shall work. There's nothing wrong with having a wife. The Bible teaches that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. But whenever something gets between you and God, between you and Jesus, it's the wrong thing. Whenever something gets between you and Jesus, then it becomes the wrong thing. So Jesus said, many will reject God's invitation to fellowship with him. But there's good news. There's good news. You won't find it on your cell phone. You'll find it in verse 21. And in verse 21, it says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being very angry, said to his servant, that, you know, now that too is very interesting, because, you know, in antiquity, in the Middle East, it's not like it is in America. You know, America, somebody invites you to a party and then you don't show up, well, you know, I had prepared a banquet, you know, there was a place setting for the person, and, you know, we ordered food, but yeah, you know. But back then, if you were invited to a banquet and you said yes to the first invitation, and then it was time for the second invitation and you said, no, I can't make it, it was considered an insult. It was the kind of insult that could cause a war. So I asked the question. How much more insulted should our Creator be? The God of God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, who loves us so much that he created us, that he sent his only begotten Son to be crucified, to be that sacrificial Lamb of God, so that you and I could be saved and have everlasting life. And you respond, no, thank you. I'm not interested. So what does the host do? So verse 21 tells us, it says, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So what Jesus was saying is, there are people out there who are spiritually poor. There are people out there who have never experienced the spiritual riches of Jesus Christ. And he was saying, we need to invite them to the banquet. Jesus was saying, there are people out there on Malcolm X Boulevard who are spiritually disabled. There are people out there on Utica Avenue and Fulton Street who are spiritually crippled by sin. And Jesus was saying that there are people all over the world who are living in spiritual darkness, and we need to invite them to the banquet. But then he went even further. What does he say? He says in verse 23, he says, and the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And I found that interesting. Because it is the servant who is now extending the invitation to this group of people. And who is the servant? The servant is you and I. That's who the servant is. It's you and I. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are the servant. If you are born again, you are the servant. Pure evangelism. Why the highways? Well, the highways represented the cities. Why did he make reference to the hedges? The hedges represented the countryside. The invitation is to everyone. What is the entree? The entree is salvation. And what did it cost? It cost the blood of Jesus Christ. How was it paid for? The life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I ask you, if you're here today, have you been to the banquet? The invitation is being made. Have you been to the banquet? The invitation is yours. There is a table reserved right here in your name. And I ask, will you come this morning? All you have to do is say a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross at Calvary. And I believe God raised you from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart and save me from my sins. It's truly a wonderful God we serve. And no matter what you're going through, keep the faith. Keep the faith. You know, sometimes we go through some things, and you got to keep the faith. Can't give up. You got to keep the faith. No matter how bad it gets, you got to keep the faith. When it's dark outside, you've got to keep the faith. When it's dark inside, you got to keep the faith. When there's no money in the bank, you've got to keep the faith. When you lose your job, you've got to keep the faith. Yes, whatever you do, don't let the enemy knock you down. Keep the faith. Because it will get better. And when it does, Lord bless you.
Thank you, brother. You know, Psalms 34 and 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We already have the victory. We hung on the cross with him. We died with him. We were buried with him, and we rose. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Our closing hymn, 194, "Is There a Heart?"